These texts from Simeon the New Theologian are an opportunity to see how this notion of a holy penthos, or a gift of tears, of a sorrow that is not the result of temptation, but is the proper use of this capacity of the soul to properly repent, can also be linked to an exquisitely contemplative theology of light. I've given you in the section marked from his catechesis, from number 22, a description of his own experience. And it's important to bear in mind that this is an autobiographical account. We are seeing here a description of what Simeon himself experienced in the early part of his own spiritual life. And this was an experience that forever changed him. In fact, he became later embroiled in a controversy because he believed that this was a normal experience that all Christians should have, something like this, an experience of the indwelling light, a conversion to God or an experience of God that allows you to experience a sense of God's nearness to you, which he believed was essential for anyone entrusted by the church with a ministry of remitting sins. The controversy arose because he was convinced that you had to have this interior experience of the indwelling light in order to be able to convey to another a sense that they too had been forgiven. This was, one can understand, quite controversial, and resulted in his condemnation by authorities at the time, although I am informed that this doctrine has never officially been condemned in the Orthodox churches, and is the basis for a sense of the possibility of a non-sacramental but still very real remission of sins that can occur in the Eastern tradition when one confesses to a spiritual father or mother who is truly someone who's been blessed with this kind of experience. Well, let's look at the experience itself. He speaks about the fact that as he was saying the prayer, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Very important in the development of the Jesus tradition. He's emphasizing his own need for God's grace, saying it more with his nous, with the deepest level of himself than with his mouth. Suddenly a radiance appears, and he loses all awareness of himself. He feels united to the light, and he is overwhelmed with tears and joy and exaltation. For Simeon, the experience of tears is also, at the same time, an experience of joy. So he goes on in the Ethical Orations to describe his own experience again and in a different kind of way. He talks about looking up and beholding the light of God. He's explaining later to his spiritual father what has happened, and this person says what happened, and he says, with tears I experienced everything vanishing, the walls of my soul vanishing, God alone remaining. I didn't know who I am, what I was, and didn't even know what was happening to me. And he says, there was such great joy, love, and longing that I was moved to streams of tears like rivers. So the tears, which are both an awareness of the need for repentance, are at the same time a source of profound joy. And then, even more, at the end of this section, he says that this is connected with theosis. As you have seen, I am God, the Lord says. I have made you, and I shall make you divine. I shall make you God. There's a belief that this sense of the indwelling of God's presence, which is manifested by tears, both of repentance and of joy, is also a deifying kind of experience. Then I've included a number of Simeon's beatitudes, his beatitudes of light. Blessed are they who, and then quite a number of these concern the divine light. Notice in about the 5th one down, blessed are they who ever weep bitterly for their sins, the light shall seize them and change their bitterness into sweet. So weeping for sins then becomes the weeping crying, the giving forth of tears, of sorrow, which God changes into sweetness and into joy. And then the channels of the tears in the next one, blessed are they who shine with the divine light, the channels of their tears, by those they are washed clean. He talks in the following macarism, blessed are they who have drawn near to the divine light and become holy light, and they shall weep bitter tears no more. There is finally an end, as it were, to bitter tears, but instead, and in the following one, blessed are they who are filled with or who weep tears of astounding sweetness. And I'll leave you to look at the rest of these Beatitudes as you like, but all of this is simply to emphasize the fact that within this theme of spiritual sorrow, which can degenerate into a destructive form of gloominess or negativity, there is also a theme that there is an appropriate and proper use of this energy, as one might call it, an energy for repentance, for feeling genuine sorrow at the wrong that one has done, associated with a real desire and a conviction that it is right to make amends, and then the emotions or all the interior stuff that is associated with this, whether it be tears or a sense of God's light, is then the experience of a sorrow that turns to joy. The sorrow leads into the possibility of a new light and of a relationship recovered. So there is, as Cassian and Evagrius observes, a holy use of this sorrow, even if one needs to emphasize at the very beginning the ways in which it can go wrong and the ways in which it can be wrongly used.